Why do I conduct my show in this manner? Mundo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mundo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mundo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mundo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mundo!
Who's lying?
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing.
Think stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Rock and roll, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at rantsradio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays. Okay, it is Wednesday, 1:23 p.m. for those of you listening on Rant Radio. The reason why it's not Thursday is because I don't do this live. As my regular listeners on Rant Radio know, I do this show pre-recorded. And I have been in a pissed-off mood for the last 2 or 3 days. For a lot of different reasons. And, you know, it's something, you know, did you ever be in a pissed off mood and just wanted to continue because you wanted to be pissed off? That you feel like you needed to be pissed off? And that it was frustrating because you knew you couldn't maintain it? And I have just been pissed off at a lot of things that have been going on lately. I mean, it's bad enough that my wife is sick and I'm angry. Not at her, obviously, but I'm angry at the fact that she is sick and that it's just taking so much time for her to get the medical care that she needs. And this isn't because we're poor or anything like that. It's because her body needs, she needs some surgeries. I don't want to get into the gory details, but she needs some surgery done, and it's just taken forever for it to get taken care of because her body, quite frankly, is currently not capable of handling surgery. And they want her to wait, but in the meantime, she's in great pain. And basically her life is taking pain pills and sleeping and eating. And that's basically it. And it annoys me because it means she's unhappy. And if she's unhappy, I'm unhappy. I'm also pissed off about shit going on at work. You know, yes, I'm grateful to have a job. Yes, I'm glad that I do. And I'm glad I'm not homeless or unemployed like a lot of people are in the current economy. But there are so many things that go on at work that just fucking piss me off. And I get so sick of it because it's the same old bullshit over and over. Sometimes I wonder if it's me it's the problem or if it's everybody else is the problem. And the fact of the matter is I'm beginning to think that it's not me, even though this happens to me all fucking time. You know, the problem with people, with working people, even though I am the voice of the working man, and I am a working person, the truth of the fucking matter is that I really, really don't identify with a lot of these people. I want to protect them because they deserve decent pay for their work, but you know, half the time, they're assholes. There are a bunch of people who sit there who are denigrated and pushed around and shoved around all the fucking time, and they're fucking proud of it. And they cannot accept anybody who is different from they are. You know, science fiction fans have a term for these people, and they're called mundanes. And that's exactly what they fucking are, mundanes. They have absolutely no fucking imagination outside of their work and their family and possibly their church, if they're churchgoers. That's it. That's fucking life to them. And anybody who sees things differently or who tries to make a difference, they look upon with contempt. Now, I don't know if it's jealousy or if it's just plain stupidity or what. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I get sick of it. And I get sick of being treated like a fucking pariah by my fellow workers because of who I am. I am what I fucking am. And I don't expect you to bend over backwards to like me, but I expect you to fucking respect me. I don't understand what the fucking problem is, why I'm supposed to do all the changing for them, and none of them are going to budge a fucking inch to help me out. Did you know at work, I can't even ask my fucking supervisor for the parts that I need to do my job without fear of getting my head bit off. Like I'm intruding on their jobs. And their part of their job is making sure I have the shit I need to do my job. What is so fucking difficult about that proposition? It pisses me off. I'm there trying to do my job. And, you know, I like my job. I like the job itself. It's the fucking company that's pissing me off. And I don't mean the company in the sense of the company I work for, but the group of people around me. All a bunch of gossipy old fucking women who don't have a clue as to what life is like outside of their own little caffy clatch. And if you're not part of their little clique, they not only don't want to know you, they treat you with contempt. And I am pissed off about it. And it goes on in every fucking single workplace. And some people talk to me about it and say, you know, when you're different like that, you just have to expect it. I shouldn't have to expect it. You don't have to like who I am or what I am, but you should fucking respect the way I am. Don't give me no bullshit that because I'm fucking different that I have to be an outcast, that you're afraid to talk to me. When it comes to work, I am always a reasonable person. But if you're unreasonable with me and you push me around, I fucking push back. And to some people, that's not good. You're a troublemaker. And I don't understand what the fuck it is with working people in this country that they have to pull shit like that. Why we can't just all fucking get along. God. It just fucking annoys me, and I'm sick of it. And if I didn't need the damn job so much, I'd quit. You know, I reached a point a while ago where I wish they would fucking just lay me off so I can go and collect unemployment and look for something else. I only work because I fucking have to. At least I only do that job because I have to. I'd do this if I could. But I'm not good enough, I'm not skilled enough to convince people like Air America Radio to get me on the fucking air where I belong. Or I can do these things without cursing. I don't have to curse, but I'm cursing now because I can. And if I can't, I won't. But they're involved in their own little fucking coffee clutches too. You know, I was on the Laura Flanders show. It was so fucking pre-programmed. And you hardly have time to get in a statement. You hardly have time for a real fucking conversation. Smart asses and high horses, like I wrote in that column a while ago. The Republicans are smart asses and the hardcore liberals are high horses. And then you got the fucking working class people who I'm supposedly trying to represent. Because I am a working person and I try to attend to the needs of working people to make the workplace a better place. As powerless as I am to really do that, and I get dumped upon by those same people simply because I'm not like them. They're the type of people who, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but they're the type of people who would tell Jesus to stop all this preaching shit and go back to carpentry and earn some real money. No fucking imagination. Nothing beyond what their job is and what their family is. That's it. That's life. There's nothing else. There's no art. There's no science. There's no literature. There's nothing. But I do this because I have to do this. But I get tired of being pushed around by these people. And every now and then, I reach a fucking boiling point. And I reached one. I've reached one in the last couple of days. It's been simmering for a while with all the other things that have been going on. And it reached a point yesterday. And I get fed up with it. I told my supervisor, said, I want to work with another group. I want to work in an area where I'm appreciated. I don't want to be afraid to ask for a part. I don't want to be afraid to open my mouth for fear of getting my head chewed off. You know, the only time these fucking people talk to me is when I screw up, and God forbid I should screw up. But of course, it's all right for them to screw up. They just laugh it off, and they move on. But I'm not allowed to. It's all right for them to ask for parts, but I can't ask for parts. I'm intruding. And then, you know, and then they just fucking get in my way. They just get in my way. There was one guy standing right where I'm working, just having a fucking conversation with somebody. And he's in my way. I need to reach for parts. I need to put parts into the box. And he's just fucking standing there. And then he puts a pallet right in front of where my place is, so I can't get out. I yell at him to move the thing so I can get the hell out, and he doesn't answer. Oh, but he does talk to me when he tells me he wants to go bring the big dumpster over and dump the trash. Right in the middle of while I'm doing my job. He can go fuck himself as far as I'm concerned. And what the fuck is this? And what the fuck is wrong with working people that they do this shit to their fellow workers? They're hurting themselves, and they don't even fucking know it. They don't even know it, and they're hurting themselves. I'm fed up with it. And if I could quit this job, I would. But I need the benefits, and I need the money. I'm certainly not getting any money out of this. Nobody buys a fucking hat. I got one guy bought a coffee mug, a nice guy. Thank you very much. I got a couple of people to donate. Thank you very much. Atrios asked for an app laptop, and he gets fucking $13,000. Excuse me, $1,300 in a couple hours. And he didn't even fucking need it. And he says he doesn't need it. But he was just asking. And I don't get shit. My wife's the only one who appreciates me. Well, I know you guys do. I know you guys do. Don't take this like I'm talking to you guys. But certainly at work, I'm not appreciated. Now, how many of you feel that way? Because I know if you're listening to the show, for the most part, you're just like me. You're working people who have had to put up with shit for a long time because you're different. And some of you have jobs that you don't have to worry about that anymore, and I'm happy for you. You know, the best job I ever had was when I was managing that photo lab. You have no clue how happy I was at that job. It wasn't just me being the man, because, you know, I did my share of the work too. But because I could be the man, I could set the atmosphere of what the work was like. And I had it very simple. When I became a manager, I decided I was not going to be like every other single fucking boss that I had had in my life. The bosses that I have right now. I was fortunate in the fact that I got to hire my own people. But I always let them know exactly what was expected of them and what they could expect from me. When I first took over that shop, I had to work 80-something hours a week because I was the only employee. I didn't have anybody to help me. And I did the whole thing. And it was hard work because it was 7 days a week. 9 to 10 hours a day. Actually, about 12 hours a day because we were open from like 8 to 8. But I didn't mind it so much because it gave me a chance to really organize things the way I wanted to. And then when I hired some people, I just basically trained them and got out of their way. I didn't micromanage them. I didn't bother them with needless, pointless bullshit like goes on all the time right now. I didn't have to. And none of these managers have to. And none of these other workers have to do the things that they do. They just do it because they're too fucking stupid and too mean to know any better. And it pisses me off. It just fucking pisses me off. And I'll tell you the outright truth. Even though I speak up for working people and I want to defend them to make their job better, I'm also doing it for selfish reasons because I want my job to be better. I want to be able to go and work and not be fucking miserable. I want to be able to go to work and enjoy the thing that I do and enjoy the company that I'm with. Again, meaning the people, not the specific company. I want to be paid well enough so that I can pay my rent and pay my bills and still have enough left over to enjoy myself. Do you work to live or do you live to work? I work to live. If I didn't have to, I wouldn't. And I'm sure most of you are in the same boat. If you didn't have to work, you would work where you're working. I mean, you wouldn't be doing that at all. If I had the kind of money to open up my own photo lab or to do anything like that, I would do so. Because quite frankly, this 9-to-5 bullshit sucks. It sucks. And part of the reason it sucks is the people who work, especially when you're working in a manufacturing job like I do. And you have to work closely around people. And they're just assholes. Between the ones that work too hard and expect you to work as hard as they do, and the ones that don't do any fucking work at all. Nobody works smart anymore. They either don't work or they work too much. And I don't know which ones are worse, quite frankly. Because the Captain Energies of the world, they just make it worse for everybody. Because the companies love them. The bosses love them. Because they can point to them an example. Why don't you be like them? Fuck you. Why don't you give us the things that we need to do our jobs? You know, you put them in a position where they go out and get the stuff that they need, and they shouldn't have to. There should be somebody whose job is to do that. So that it doesn't take time to do that. It pisses me off, and it sickens me. Let me calm down. We'll have some more in a bit. Sam, play us the fuck out.
We'll be right back with more of the Papa Joe Radio Show.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. After weeks of Keystone Cops-like antics, the Illinois Republican Party finally found a candidate to run against rising star and the next United States Senator from Illinois, Barack Obama. The only problem for the Illinois GOP is the candidate that they put forward lives in Maryland, not Illinois. Yes, Alan Keyes, that mosh-pitting fiery orator on behalf of the anti-abortion extremists, is the GOP U.S. Senate race standard-bearer in Illinois, while he commutes from his home in Maryland, where he twice lost Senate races. Oh yes, and he twice lost efforts to gain the Republican nomination for president. And there are reports of a lien on his house in Maryland, which means he may be the first Republican homeless candidate. In 2000, here's what an indignant Alan Keyes had to say about Hillary Clinton running for the Senate in New York State.
I deeply resent the destruction of federalism represented by Hillary Clinton's willingness to go into a state she doesn't even live in and pretend to represent the people there, Keyes said. So I certainly wouldn't imitate it.
When he announced his run against Obama, Keyes was asked by reporters about this blatant hypocrisy. He gamely countered that he wasn't a hypocrite because he was running on behalf of God. Besides the fact that most Republican elected officials appear, by their actions and words, to in actuality be running away from God, we here on Earth believe hypocrisy is hypocrisy. And thus far, neither Alan Keyes, nor George W. Bush, nor Pat Robertson have offered us any proof that God is on their side, or even that he talks to them. We used to think that it was only guys on street corners with a brown paper bag and a half a bottle of Ripple who really believed that God talked directly to them. Now we've discovered that these poor fellows have moved into leadership roles in the Republican Party. Key says that he doesn't need to know any facts about Illinois because he's championing the issues of the Lord, keeping gays out of schools, putting guns in every pocket, and forcing women to bear children conceived by rape or incest. Illinois Republican voters might be turned off by this kind of ideological extremism, but their party didn't give them much choice. After their main candidate, Jack Ryan, quit when his divorce papers revealed he forced his former wife to go to sex clubs against her will, and the popular yet bibulous former Chicago Bears coach Mike Ditka backed out when he didn't want to give up his lucrative contract pushing erection drugs, the party leaders ruled out or struck out with every other Illinois Republican, which left them with a carpet-bagging Keyes. Keyes, who was born black, was heralded as a savior by the all-white suburban Republican crowd when he announced to them that he would accept their nomination. While his chances of winning the senatorial race are pretty slim, he can at least go home to Maryland knowing he won this week's slot as the GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Until next week, remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com: so many Republican hypocrites, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen now, you mother...
There's a website fighting President Bunny Pants every day.
BartCop.com.
BartCop mixes unrelenting outrage and piercing humor with his favorite fine tequila.
BartCop.com.
On the web since 1996 with news and commentary not approved by Karl Rove.
BartCop.com.
Live chat rooms to discuss Bush's crimes of the day.
BartCop Radio.
Uncensored invective aimed at those who deserve it most.
BartCop.com.
Fighting the Bush family evil empire.
BartCop.com.
But we need your help.
Go there now.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
BartCop.com.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and my email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And, of course, I highly urge you all to post on the comments section of the blog or to email me if you have any comments or suggestions. And I also want to mention my other radio show, Audio Hell, which I haven't done for the last couple of weeks because of the problems with my wife being in the hospital. But that generally airs live Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on akaradio.com. That's akaradio.com. That music, by the way, was called Elektra, and it's by a group called the Elektras, which features John Kerry on lead bass. It was his high school band cut an album back in 1961. Obviously, it wasn't released very widely, but he cut an album, and that was obviously, you can tell from listening to the style, that it's very much rockabilly, very much Beatles-esque, although it had been before the Beatles came to America. That sound was very popular at that time. So it's really weird. I got a couple little clips like that from that. What was I talking? You know, I've been having a couple of very interesting discussions on the line. One on the Cornpone Flicks message board with Matt Murray from Cornpone Flicks. And Matt is an old friend of mine and a very smart person. And if you're a Christian person trying to convert him, you're going to get a tough argument out of him because he knows the Bible very, very well. In fact, he knows it better than a lot of Christians do. And what's interesting to me, now I'm an agnostic. I do not make any claim one way or the other about the existence of God, simply because I can't make a claim on something I can't guarantee one way or another. You know, and it's interesting that I use the same arguments with Matt, who is an avowed atheist, that I use with fundamentalists, which is like, look, I don't know what I don't know. You know, and because I don't know what I don't know, I can't make an actual comment about it. Do I believe that there's something greater than us? Could be. You know, I mean, the universe is certainly greater than we are. The galaxy is certainly greater in terms of size and complexity than we are. But what is God? Does God exist? If so, what form does God take? These are complex questions. And I will say a couple of things. I don't believe in any one particular religion. I don't have any problem with Jesus Christ. I don't have. I might have more problems with Muhammad. I don't know as much about him, so again, I can't make as many comments about it. I don't have a lot of problems with Buddha. I understand and like a lot of the things that he had to say. I like some aspects of the Buddhist religion. I like some aspects of the Christian religion. You know, it's all. Everybody's right and everybody's wrong. I know it's an impossible argument to make, but everybody's right and everybody's wrong. You know, since it's something you can't prove definitively. Matt was trying to make the point, well, maybe your car is a god. You know, and you just don't know it yet because it's really weird. I said, well, if it's a god, it's a pretty weird god. It is a pretty weird god, but it's a pretty crappy god because it's always breaking down on me. At least I have to put gas in it. I have to fix flat tires. Actually, my car is pretty decent for an old car. It runs pretty well. But it's something I at least have practical knowledge and experience with. You know? So, you know, it's just interesting to me how I use those arguments, those same arguments. But what I really wanted to talk about was I was going to talk about the article originally and about how basically the Bush administration and its corporate allies are basically cowards because they're bullies and tyrants. And bullies and tyrants are cowards that like to beat up people, stuff like that. But there was a comment that Bruce said that really kind of pissed me off. And Bruce is Beachon, Bruce Lewis. And he doesn't hide his name. Beachon is a nickname he uses, but he does not hide his name on his board, on his thing. And he links to his homepage, Bruce the Psychic Guy. And Bruce has a reputation, and it has cost him friends over the years, of making inflammatory political statements. And he made one towards me the other day. And I want to read what he said. And he was talking about why Kerry's not going to go in. He said his popularity is illusory because the people who grind out the news on TV and in the major papers are East, West Coast, big city liberals who have a vested interest in seeing that he wins. But he won't. Out here in flyover country where the real people live, nobody's buying his BS. To us, he looks like another pompous blowhard with a Yankee accent and $500 haircut. The only people here in Texas that I know are supporting him are college students, government employees, and the AARP types. Bruce just said I'm not a real person because I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Apparently, only real people live in Texas. And in fact, even among those who live in Texas, only Bruce is in a certain group of real people because obviously college students, government employees, and AARP types, which I assume to mean old retired people, are not real people. Even though they live in Texas, they're not real people to him because they don't believe what he believes. You crossed the line, Bruce. You crossed the fucking line. You know, real people live in New York City, man. Real people live in Los Angeles. Real people live in San Francisco. Just as real people live in Dallas. And real people live in Tulsa. And real people live in Atlanta, Georgia. We're all fucking real people, man. We're all fucking real people. Don't you fucking get that? Don't you fucking understand that? What did Barack Obama say? We worship an awesome God in the blue states, in the red states, and I have gay friends in the blue states. Excuse me, the other way around. We worship an awesome God in the red, in the blue states, and I have gay friends in the red states. It's this type of divisive bullshit that makes it impossible to have a reasonable discussion with people nowadays. I'm a real fucking person, man. I'm a real fucking person. I exist. I am here. You may not like my political views, and you're welcome to disagree with them. But don't sit there and tell me I'm not a fucking real person. Because I am a real person. You're a real person, but you also happen to be a real asshole. Did you know that? And I'm going to post something on the board. In fact, by the time this gets on the air, it will be posted on the board that you either offer up an apology for what you've just said, or I'm going to ban your ass from the board. I ought to have banned your ass a long time ago because you said some, you know, pretty fucked up things. But you just said, I'm not a human being. I'm not a real person. And no matter what else I've said about George Bush and Dick Cheney, they're still real people. They exist. They have a right to their opinions. They even have a right to attempt to get the power that they're getting. But I have a right to try to stop them. And if by trying to stop them I cease becoming a real person in your eyes, then fuck you, Bruce. Fuck you. You crossed the fucking line, asshole. You know, there are lines in discussions, political and religious discussions, that you simply do not cross. You can debate the existence of, you know, I can get into this discussion with Matt Murray about being an atheist and being not an atheist. Or about how John Kerry and Bill Clinton and Al Gore weren't hardly liberal enough. I can get into a discussion with him about that. But he thinks I'm a real person. And I think he's a real person. And we can have that sort of agreement to disagree and respect each other's viewpoints. But you obviously don't respect somebody else's view. Because if they don't think the way you think, they're not a real person. And I don't know how many fucking Republican spin points that you laid out in there. There are several. The $500 haircut is a Republican fucking spin point. The flyover states is a fucking Republican spin point. You know what? Fuck you. Damn, that pisses me off. I'm not a real person. You know, you had a much longer relationship with Dave Merrill, and you pissed that away. Because you said divorce is murder. The murder of a relationship. And that pissed Dave off enough so that he dumped your ass as a friend. Because you called his current wife a murderer. Because she's had a divorce. You called my wife a murderer. In fact, she's a double murder because she's been divorced twice. And you don't fucking understand that you can't just go around making statements like that and not expect to be held accountable for it. And I'm going to hold you accountable for it. You're going to offer up a fucking apology, or I'm going to ban your ass from the board. You don't have you don't have every right that you think you have. It's a free speech zone, but it's my fucking board. And you can spew your venom on your own fucking live journal. You've got one of your own. And I read it sometimes. Actually, I haven't read it for a very long time. I haven't bothered you because you're so full of shit, it's not worth it. And I tolerate you on the board because I've known you for a long time. And I know that in person, you're a much nicer person than you are on the line. But you know, on the internet. But you know what? You're a fucking asshole. And I'm pissed off. You really fucking piss me off because you crossed a fucking line that you shouldn't cross. The Bush people do it all the fucking time. They cross the line. There's things you do and things you fucking don't do. You don't have to like someone being a Democrat. You don't have to like someone being a Republican, but you damn well better respect what they have to say. And let me say something else, too, because this goes back to what I was talking about in the first segment. I'm doing the show on the Internet. Most of the people I work with, in fact, pretty much all of them, are never going to hear this show, are never going to listen to it. Why? Because the Internet is not part of their world. And because my world is not focused on just going to work and just what my family is doing and maybe going to church, then I, to them, am not a real person. That's why they don't feel free to talk to me as comfortably as they do. That's why they don't like me working with them. And that's why they can feel free to treat me the way they do, because I'm not a real fucking person. I'm a real fucking person, goddammit. I am real. I am flesh and blood. If I'm cut, I bleed. I have to breathe the same air, drink the same water, drive on the same roads as you do. I'm a real fucking person. Do you people not get this? I don't know what I have to say or what I have to do to change things in this world. And this show isn't very fucking much, but I'm going to do what I can. That's just bullshit. You're real and I'm real. And while I can accept your diverse opinions on things and tolerate you to a certain extent, I won't have you sit there and say I'm not a real person on the air. I agree to a certain extent that some people live in different worlds. Certainly the Bush fucking people do. How can you sit there and bitch at John Kerry about being rich and still support George W. Bush for the same fucking reason? Why is George W. Bush more of a real person? Because he buys a phony ranch and goes into the woods and cuts some trees? What the fuck has that got to do with the fucking photo op? You fucking cult member assholes. Just like the person who wrote me the email about real Christians know who to vote for in the election. What the fuck is that shit all about? Real Christians are no different than real Muslims or real Buddhists. God, that pisses me off. I'm not a real person? Fuck you! You know, you're going to say that to the wrong type of person one day, Bruce. And that real person is going to hit you in the face with a real fucking blunt instrument. And you're going to know that that's a real person. Not a real person. Are those real people that were bombing in Iraq? Are those real people that were dragging out of their homes for no other reason than they're fucking Iraqis and shoving things up their ass? Are those real people? I guess not. They're Untermenschen. They're under people. What you're saying is no different from saying that black people aren't real people because they're black. Or that Jews aren't real people because they're not Aryan. Or that anybody else isn't a real person because they're Aryan. Americans aren't the only real people in the world, too. There's French, and there's Germans, and there's Indians, and there's Iraqis, and there's Iranians, and there's most of the people in the world who don't want to put up with any of this bullshit, but have it foisted upon them by leaders who just want to give themselves money and power by manipulating other people. That's what bullies and cowards and tyrants do. And a tyrant is nothing more than a bully who's got power. How many fucking times throughout history do we have to go through this before the human race finally realizes that it doesn't accomplish anything? It doesn't make the world a better place, even for those doing the conquering. And because certain people say that other people are not real people, that's when we get into real serious fucking problems. When you dehumanize somebody, then it gives you the right to do anything you fucking want to them. You cross the line, man. You cross the line. I am pissed. I am really, really fucking pissed. How fucking dare you sit there and tell me that I'm not a real person? God almighty. Play us the fuck out, Sam.
The Papa Joe Radio Show will be right back.
religion and politics often make some people lose all perspective and give way to ranting and raving and carrying on like emotional children. They either refuse to discuss it with reason or else they prefer argumentum ad hominem, which is a hell of a way to conduct a discussion. Well, anyhow, not long ago, I was talking about the elections and how the campaigns were ignoring the issues and sticking instead to invective and personal crap that had nothing to do with the substantive problems of running a government, which is all true, as you know, if you followed the speeches and so-called debates of the candidates. Anyhow, one of the guys I was talking with said not a word in the whole conversation except at the end when he suddenly chuckled and said we were all full of shit and why didn't we go live in Russia or China if that was the way we all hated the United States of America. Next thing you know, the whole blooming discussion was more like a brawl and the epithets flew thick and fast and the noise is incredible. Someone said son of a bitch and I think he said bastard. I couldn't be sure. It was also confusing. Well, anyhow, I was attempting to get it all back on a rational level. I tried, for example, to talk to the one who had started it all and I asked him just what did he mean we were all full of shit. Was he making a statement of fact as he knew it and where was his documentation to back up his claim? I think Socrates would have been proud of the way I refuted his argument. That is, I tried to refute it, but all he could offer by way of rebuttal was more of the same about how we were all full of shit, but he wouldn't say why. He just kept on repeating it. That and the part about Russia and China and communist dupes, and I'll have to confess that I got a bit angry and told him to stuff his ideas up his shit, which you don't have to tell me is hardly a way to convince anyone in an argument. Then he got salty and threatened to give me a punch in the mouth if I didn't shut up, and I really got hot, and the others did too, and we all beat the shit out of Mr. Conservative, and after all, he had only himself to be blamed. This is still a free country, and anyone telling a fellow like me, brother, you're full of shit, better be good and ready to answer politely when asked if he'd care to say why.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Again, let me remind you of the URL, cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And I encourage everybody to write and comment on the blog, but not like the shit that Beat John posts, okay? Christ almighty, what an asshole. Before the musical break there, we had Scott Beach with Religion and Politics, a classic little bit that I needed to pull out because I needed to have a laugh after that angry screed. Actually, two angry screeds. It's late Thursday, and I'm recording this late because I didn't get a chance to finish it earlier today. I had some business to take care of. I wanted to have it ready for airing at Rant Radio tonight, but the fact of the matter is that I do work at a regular job, and it's not always easy for me to get these shows done on time. Plus, you know, with my wife's medical problems that she's been having. Hi, wife. She's waving hello to me. And, it's been a rough haul for me the last couple of weeks or so. The wife has been in the hospital twice, and her health is to a point where she's basically taking pain pills and sleeping and eating and going to the bathroom. And that's basically her life for the last week or so. And it's been putting some stress on me, too. And I've had some stress at work lately. The day before yesterday, but I received a transfer to another line because I was tired of the assholes I was working with. Of course, the odds are pretty good, knowing my shop, that there's going to be a new group of assholes at the line I'm at. We get a lot of women there just gossip all day on those lines. They just sit there and talk to each other and gossip about their personal lives. And I'm like, whatever, to use a Valley Girl phrase, whatever. The Bruce really pissed me off. He really, really did. And I'm not as angry now as I was earlier. And I'm still writing. I'm in the midst of writing the post that I'm going to put up. I was thinking about emailing him privately and letting him know how I felt. But you know what? He fucking posted it publicly. I'll answer it publicly. Damn it. I even posted it on the Cornpone Flicks Yahoo group that I read in. And you know, I didn't say who wrote it. I just said this was on my blog. Isn't this lovely? It was part of a larger discussion that I mentioned earlier about the existence of God and the nature of the universe on all these little trivial matters that we discuss. And this on a website, or on a mailing group that deals primarily with a small group of local filmmakers that I'm friends with. Have you ever had friends like that, or people that you've known who were like that, just total assholes? I mean, do you work around assholes all the time, too, and just don't or don't want to do anything to do with them? Where do all these assholes come from, anyway? I know. I hear the snotty answer to that. That's not what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. What makes people assholes like that? I'm an asshole, damn it. At least I know what makes me an asshole. I'm a crotchety old man. That's why I'm an asshole. Hang on a second. Let me drink. Water. Stuff of life. There's been a lot of stuff going on. It was a funny joke on BartCop.com. Actually, it was part of a story. And it was about a bear. Let me read this. Let me scroll down to it because this was really, really funny. It was about a bear that was found drunk. Here we are. This is from BartCop.com, and he has a link to the actual site, which is, I guess, the weird news section. It said, when state wildlife agents recently found the black bear passed out on the lawn of Baker Lake Resort, there were some clues scattered nearby, dozens of empty beer cans. The bear apparently got into campers' coolers and used his claws and teeth to puncture the cans, and not just any cans. He appeared to favor one brand over another. He drank the Rainier and wouldn't drink the Busch beer, said Lisa Broxson, bookkeeper at the campground and cabins resort east of Mount Baker. Sergeant Bill Hanks said that the bear did try one can of Busch but ignored the rest. The beast then consumed about 36 cans of Rainier. And Bartkop replied eloquently, even the fucking bears agree, anything but Busch. That was... Oh, that's good. That's pretty good. There's been, as we get nearer and nearer to this so-called election, and you know what? There's not going to be an election. This is going to be so fucking rigged. This is going to be so fucking... You know that there's something like 36 million votes are going to be tabulated by unsecure electronic voting machines. And, you know, they're not going to tweak them that much. Just going to tweak them just enough. Just enough to edge a victory out for Mr. Busch. Just enough. And all you 18 and 19-year-olds out there, and your 20-year-olds, those who are of draft age, better get ready. Because unless some minor miracle happens, and it's going to take a minor fucking miracle for Kerry to pull this off, Bush is going to get in. But in the last couple of weeks or so, the Republicans have been getting more and more shrill. The swift boat liars for Bush have been pushing harder and harder, but people are pushing back. Chris Matthews apparently had one of them on his show and just reamed his ass that he didn't have any, you know, actual facts, just insinuation. Paul Waldman of the Gadflyer, or Gadflyer.com, GADFLYER.com, was on Bill O'Reilly's show. Actually, it was a co-host, John Gibson. And he was on with Brent Bozell, who was one of the swift boat liars for Bush. And let me read what he has to say here, because this is an example of how these guys are. He said he appeared on the O'Reilly Factor debating Brent Bozell of the Media Research Center. If you're not familiar with the Media Research Center, they're one of a number of well-funded conservative groups established to complain about liberal media bias. If tomorrow's lead story, for example, in the New York Times were headlined Bush's Second Coming of Christ, Bozell would say with complete conviction that it showed their blatant liberal bias because they didn't compliment the color of the president's tie. Ironically, despite the liberal stranglehold on the press, Bozell himself has no trouble garnering media attention. A LexisNexis search revealed that he gets quoted in one media outlet or another about once every 3 days. Now, he and Bozell were on the show to discuss the Swift Vote Veterans for Truth. He's been on O'Reilly four times now, and the format is always the same. He's the sacrificial liberal, there to be tag-teamed by the host, in this case, guest host John Gibson, and the conservative guest. We'll get to what happened on the air in a moment, but what's more interesting is what happened afterward. Although Bozell and I were both in the Fox studios in Washington, we sat in different rooms to tape the show. After we finished, both of us returned to the green room to remove our makeup. Upon my arrival there, my feeling, as it usually is in this kind of a situation, was that it wouldn't do much good for either of us to continue our argument off the air. I feel as passionately about politics as anyone, but let's face it, Brent Bozell and I are not going to convince each other of anything. In person, I try to be polite to everyone, even those whose political views I find repellent. Perhaps a little naively, I thought Bozell would feel the same way. We'd wipe our faces, wish each other good evening, and be on our separate ways. But alas, it was not to be. The moment I walked in, Bozell looked at me angrily and said, "That was horseshit what you said." I reconstruct here the rest of the discussion as best I can recall. Although I wrote it down on the way home, a word here or there may be less than precise. Rest assured, though, the nasty parts from Bozell are verbatim. "What part of it?" "You're a liar." "What are you talking about?" "That stuff about Kerry." "What about atrocities?" "He called them war criminals." "He didn't accuse any individuals of anything." "You're a liar." "He never accused those guys of anything." "John Kerry is a liar and you're a liar." "What are you talking about?" "Fuck you." At that, Bozell stormed out. I should note that throughout this little argument, I remained calm, partly in an attempt to defuse Bozell's boiling rage, but also because I was genuinely having a hard time figuring out what he was trying to get across. Bozell, in contrast, looked as though his head was about to explode, his voice growing louder and his face redder. I would say that I was afraid he was going to take a swing at me, but I don't think afraid is quite the right word. I'm quite a few years younger than Bozell, and although I suspect he fights dirty, I have a black belt in Taekwondo, so I'm pretty sure I could take him. Fortunately, it didn't come to that. I had never met Bozell before, though I had seen him on television. He always struck me as rather an angry fellow. But how one comes across in a 5-minute segment on television doesn't necessarily reflect one's true personality. And I have no reason to think that he doesn't love his family, pay his taxes, and have a genuine desire to make his country a better place. But there's something very disturbing about looking right-wing rage in the face. After all, Bozell should be a happy man. Not only do his conservative compatriots control all three branches of government, but his years of work browbeating the media have paid off handsomely. The mainstream press in America is gripped by cowardice, terrified at every turn that Bozell and his supporters will come down on them with an avalanche of emails, phone calls, and letters charging them with liberal bias. Over the course of his presidency, George W. Bush has gotten more respectful press coverage than any president since John F. Kennedy. And recent years have seen the rise of a powerful, profitable right-wing media in which Bozell's views get wide airing. In many ways, Bozell has won the war he's been fighting for so long. Yet the fire of anger burns with him unabated. Much has been made of liberals' anger at President Bush, and that anger is certainly real. But if Bush loses in November, that anger will dissipate. You'll be able to find liberals angry about one issue or another at one time or another, but you won't find them simmering with a generalized fury. But many conservatives remain angry even at the height of their power. They'll be angry if Bush loses, and they'll be angry if he wins. And that's the end of that quote. They really are very angry people. And even more so that they've got so much power. And basically they're looking to take the final step, which is attempting to wipe us off the face of the earth, which is one of the reasons why the real people comment from Beachon just pissed me off so much. Because, you know, this is how holocausts happen. It starts out like that with scapegoats, and it keeps escalating, and sooner or later, people get pushed around, and then people get killed. And some of us are prime targets for being killed. I'm not yet because I'm fucking powerless. I mean, here I am, I just do this little tiny radio show that doesn't really accomplish anything. Well, I have maybe a couple of hundred listeners at the most. But, you know, I really am not very effective. But there are people who are effective. And they're, you know, they've got crosshairs on them. There are people out there who are just waiting for the opportunity to kill them. It won't be done now because it would be too obvious. But if they get more power and they feel more secure, they'll be perfectly happy to kill these people off. Any group of people who is happy with declaring war and launching a war on a helpless enemy based on lies and killing thousands of innocent people just because they happen to be in the way is perfectly capable of killing off their political opponents. Certainly somebody was pissed off enough at John Kennedy to want to kill him. And whether you blame Lee Harvey Oswald in person, you know, personally, or a group of people that were behind Oswald, or somebody else who might have shot him, whatever the real fucking story of that was, the truth of the matter is that there are always people that are going to be angry enough to want to kill somebody. And nobody is safe in the long run in that sense. It's just it's gotten very bad in this country. And because of our news media the way it is, because they've been cowed by this right-wing hate machine, which is very profitable. You know, if I was a right-winger doing something like this, I'd probably be awash in money. Maybe I should change and become, you know, try to become another Rush Limbaugh or another John Kennedy. But you know what? I just don't have it in me to be that way. You know, if I ever get picked up on Air America, they'll probably press me to take phone calls. And I really don't want to take phone calls because, quite frankly, I do not want to spend however long my show is arguing with somebody. I mean, there's no point to it, you know, in arguing. And, you know, they're like brick walls sometimes. And it's really very difficult to try to maintain a civil discourse and maintain a civil tone when you're talking with them. Look at Beachon. And Beachon's an old friend. Bruce is an old friend. I've known him for years. I've known him for at least 10 years. No, for at least 8 years, anyway. I've known him since AWA started. And it's just sad that it gets to that point. And it's sad when somebody you know and who you might otherwise like makes such unbelievable comments like that. And he feels the same way about me, of course. I have accused him of being a murderer because of his wholehearted support of the Iraqi war. I don't necessarily retract that because, he's not really a murderer in the sense that he personally is going a killer, but he's certainly abetting what's going on. It just makes me sad, you know. I get angry and then I get over it. I can't keep it up. Sometimes I wish I can keep it up. I just want to keep up the anger. But I can't always do that. And I suppose that's a good thing, because otherwise my heart would explode. Anyway, I see by the clock on the wall that it is time to head out. And I want to thank all of my listeners at rantradio.com and, of course, at the White Rose Society. Thank you again to Ben Birch for hosting the archives there. And all of my fans all over the world. I have listeners in Australia and in Japan. And in Poland, at least one listener in each of those countries anyway. And I'm really happy to have them. That's what I love about the internet, technology. And speaking of technology, once more I want to remind everybody of my live radio show, which is called Audio Hell. It's less of a politics show than it is a music show. I play a lot of different tunes there. I haven't done it in the last couple of weeks because of the wife's medical problems, but hopefully things will be okay on this Saturday, and that's every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can stream that at akaradio.com. That's akaradio.com. So until next show and until Audio Hell, I want to thank everybody for listening in. And from the Cup of Joe Radio Show, this is Joe Vecchio signing off, saying goodbye. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe Radio Show, is proud to be a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 2127. However, the views of Joe Vecchio do not necessarily represent the views of Local 2127, the IBEW, or its affiliate, the AFL-CIO. Please remember to support your working brothers and sisters and help keep the American dream alive. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of Jove Enterprises, Incorporated.